Phil Vitale's raising his hand, and he's a restaurant critic. Phil.
That would be Tom Seaver.
Tom Seaver!
Yes.
Nicely done, sir. Played for the White Sox.
I was watching that game, and Hawk Harrelson, and with the, you know, with the last pitch, when I think last out was a weak fly to center field, and he just went, history! And that was the end of his call.
Nice. Nicely done. All right, buddy. You got anything else, White Sox wise, for us before I let you go, Pete McMurray?
I have a question for you. Which rookie of the year for the White Sox has his jersey retired?
Rookie of the year for the White Sox.
Rookie of the year has his jersey retired.
Well, that's got to be somebody awesome, but maybe not necessarily retired as a White Sox. So that could be, he may have come up with the White Sox and then had a career elsewhere. Bertrand, Violetta, anyone? Bueller?
I'll give you the number. It's number 42.
That is not going to help me. Oh, Frank Thomas.
Ron Kittle.
I love Ron Kittle. Kittles and
Ron
bits.
He was a great guy. He was rookie of the year, but he didn't deserve to have his jersey retired. However, number 42 in all of baseball has been retired because of Jackie Robinson.
That's a sneaky
question.
One.
That's a trick question. The next sound yes, you hear is. Will be us hanging up on you, Pete McMurray. Goodbye.
See you guys later.
See you. Hey, are you on tomorrow, by the way?
I am not. Thanks for bringing it up.
I'll listen anyway. See you later. There's Pete McMurray. It's 1:43. Phil Vitale's the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. He's in our studio on Wednesdays. Phil, thanks for coming in.
Sure thing.
Here, you said you weren't a baseball fan. You knew that Tom Seaver one.
I watched that game, and I remember one of my favorite Sox stories. I was at a game. It must have been 1977. Jim Spencer was the first baseman, something like that, and they were playing Oakland back then. Oakland was killing everybody, and everybody hated Oakland in town. And the Sox did very well. They were up through five. They were up a couple of runs, and then in the top of the sixth, stupid A's put a nice string together, score about four runs. Now they've got the lead. You know, writing's on the wall. The skies open up. It pours. It's deluge. It's like it's biblical. It just comes in. Everyone's running for cover, and it goes on. And they finally cancel the game. But the last completed inning was the fifth inning, and so the score reverts to that.
Nice.
So even though the Sox had given up the lead, they won that game.
Look at you.
Awesome.
Look at you. Who has better food, the Cell or Wrigley?
You know, we sent people out this year to do that, and Nick Kindlesberger, my colleague, was the one doing that. He announced after eating like almost everything there was to eat in both parks that the Cubs had pulled ahead, mostly as a virtue of the specialty foods they have in the bleachers now.
How about that? Because I think the buzz has always been, whatever Wrigley Field is, the Sox Park has better food.
That's always been true.
And maybe now the Cubs have caught up. Well, maybe. The Sox have got up their
game. I'll tell
you
that Paul Sullivan, our sports writer, has never forgiven Nick for that story. And he brings it up every time he sees him now.
Elif, our producer, asked you to come up with some restaurants in town that I might yet get reservations to on this, the 14th of February. What did you find?
I found a bunch. I went on Facebook and I said, you know, come at me, folks. What do you got? Who's open? And so I wound up with more than 20 restaurants in the city and suburbs, places.
How long has this list been up?
We posted it about 5 minutes ago.
Okay, so literally, as you're listening to this, if you want to get into a restaurant in Chicago for Valentine's dinner this evening, you can, if you go to one of these places.
Right. Even if you just want regular dinner.
What have you got?
They'll feed you either way. You don't have to be attached. Fun places. Bistro Campan up on Lincoln Avenue. They have just walk-in available. But Sarah's Table, which is also up north at 3124 North Broadway, they have tables after 8:30. Good availability at Chicago Chop House, right down the road, not far from here, at 60 West Ontario Street. You can go to Eataly, and they'll have open seating for all their food stations, and they've opened a pop-up wine and dessert room that you can just go in there for the end of the evening, maybe. Frontier, 1072 North Milwaukee Avenue has tables. Heritage Restaurant and Caviar Bar out west on Chicago Avenue, 2700 West. They have a big table, so nobody's booking it because everyone's a couple. So if you got a couple, three friends, hey, go there, take the big table. And you can get a two-tap table after 8:30. Macello, 1235 West Lake Street. They've got some availability after 8:30.
Do I have your list? Is this the same piece of paper you're working off of? Okay, keep going.
Prime and Provisions, the steakhouse at 222 North LaSalle Street. They have tables beginning at 8 o'clock. Good availability at Three Forks, which is 180 North Field Drive, and you know, just north of Randolph and east of Michigan Avenue, and the Weber Grill at on State Street, 539 North State Street. They have tables out in the suburbs. Outremont has early and very late tables available there in Berwyn. Bellagio's in Mokina on 191st Street. They've got good availability. Cooper's Hawk, which is a very large restaurant with wine and food, in Arlington Heights on Algonquin Road. They've got good availability. Edzo's Burger Shop in Evanston. Edzo's doing a $25 menu for two. $25 for two. Obviously burger-based, and they've got space. 1416, one word, out in LaGrange has good availability. A place called Longitude 315, that refers to their address, 315 Waukegan Avenue in Highwood. They're open for business. And in Libertyville, Pizzeria DeVille, 404 North Milwaukee Avenue, they got room for you. And I'll keep updating this list as the afternoon goes on, because I'm sure some people will go, I didn't see the notice.
ChicagoTribune.com, right?
Yeah.
I got one other restaurant question for you. You got one more minute?
Sure.
Phil Vitale's in the studio. Maybe you've got one, too. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Phil Vitale is here. He is the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. If you're just joining us, it was announced this morning that the Chicago White Sox new radio home is WGN. Years and years and years ago, a young whippersnapper named Jack Brickhouse broadcast the White Sox on this radio station. Jack, if you're listening, they're back. And we are all just getting our head around that. We're thrilled. We're excited. I know the White Sox fans at the station just are literally, you should see Ernie in production upstairs. He's running up and down the hall, literally Ron Santo style, clicking his heels. And the rest of us are totally on the bus, but we don't know this bus. We just don't know the White Sox.
Yep.
So we got to learn. So, Phil, give me some Southside restaurants. I mean, I think downtown and north and northwest, and you know, that's not a haven for restaurants. But where do you go when you want to eat south of Roosevelt Road?
I go to Nana's, which is on Halsted Street. I think around 3100 South. I'm not sure it's that far south. That's really good. There's a very good Chinese restaurant called Han 202, which is south of Chinatown, very close to the to White Sox. Polo Cafe has been around for a long, long time down there, and that's always a fun time. Let's see. When I go to a game, a lot of times I go to the I've blanked out, and I'll come back.
Well, if I go to Hyde Park, I mean, that's not exactly Sox.
No, you've overshot it big time.
But that's south. I mean, what do you like over there?
I like La Petite Folie. I like Valois, which has been around in that neighborhood for a million years. I think A10 in Hyde Park. Yeah, there's always.
How about
always
Memphis? Memphis is south. Do you have favorites in Memphis?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Just kidding, John.
Yeah, just go for the ribs. I just go for the ribs.
Okay, Steve. So in other words, right? I know I'm not exactly in the White Sox.
I'll meet you at the Polo Cafe.
Yeah, that's your recommendation, right,
yeah,
Steve?
Yeah, very much.
John, please ask Phil Vitale what his opinion is on restaurants that include tips in the cost of the meal. No tipping, in other words. I think it's a good idea, says 630 area code. What do you make of that?
I think it's a great idea. It opens up some issues that are now being discussed on the legal level about whether it's a service charge or whether who those tips belong to or what kind of discretion the management may have. But I think that system is probably inevitable, because my sons gravitate to that sort of thing right away. I mean, they're always going on to, say, Uber or Lyft, because the tips rolled in. Or yeah. There's nothing awkward at the end. People are, especially younger people, are very used to that model, and I think they really like it. And the idea of going in and just knowing what the price is going to be, or even if just knowing that the price is going to be rolled in, and it's... When I go to Europe, you run into places, and it's all the time that the tip is automatically included.
And I feel, and you know, it's weird, because I've been to Europe enough to know that I still want a tip. And they've told me, no, don't worry, you don't have to tip. And I think they look at me and they go, that's an American. He knows to tip. He's not tipping. Oh, I hate Americans. And I just can't get my head around dropping a few euro down on the table.
That's the thing. You can feel like big... But Diamond Jim Brady for €5.
But I've already given them 20% probably. Mm-hmm. Like, if they roll the tip into the cost of a meal here in Chicago, say,
right,
would they? What percent would they roll into that?
That's a good question.
18%?
Typical, I would think, 20? Would probably be between 15 and 18%.
Yeah.
They need to disclose it on there and say.
Amen to that. And it's right. So if you knew it's 18% and you had such good service, you want to give them 20, you could drop a few more dollars rather than 20% of the bill.
Right. For instance, a restaurant in Pilsen called Hai Su, it's a Vietnamese restaurant, they started off with this model. They had a big thing. It was on the menu. It was on the back page of the menu. And it was on the bill when you got it, saying, we are paying our people a fair wage, and the price is already included that, you know, the tip is already rolled into the price, so you don't need to tip anymore. And people, they said, didn't like it. It sounded weird to them. So they kept all those designations there, but then included a line saying, if you'd like to leave more, of course you can.
Have at it.
And so that seemed to make people feel good. And then you can put a 10% tip down and feel like you've been a really good guy.
For some reason, this conversation is making me think of the BYOs in Chicago, which I find more of than when we were living in Minneapolis. Mm. I really love that.
Oh,
talk about controlling costs and knowing what you're going to pay, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I don't know if I should tip according to what the value of the bottle of the wine is. I think not.
No.
And, you know, it's just a way to keep the price down and get exactly what you want.
Right. Well, cracks me up, I've been at BYO where the waiter has had extensive experience working in restaurants where they have had full wine service. So I bring out my bottle and he uncorks it or takes the screw top off, depending on the level of wine I've brought, and reflexively pours me a sample. Like I'm going to taste it.
And send it back.
Do a spit take and send it.
Put it back in my car.
Who brought this?
Phil Vitale's list of restaurants you can still get a reservation to are at chicagotribune.com/dining now. Always a pleasure, Phil. Thanks for
coming
in.
Go Sox.
157. Yeah, do.